One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to In for Layup, the podcast. This is episode 318 called Nichelle Sublett Part 2. This episode is sponsored by Embryo Solution. Guys, have you ever heard of embryo donation? I've been getting asked a lot about this lately, so I wanted to share some really important information. Embryo donation is when one family that's gone through IVF donates their embryos to support the family building efforts of another family. And I've partnered with Embryo Solution, an agency with an important mission to fill the gap between infertility and excess embryos by connecting all parties involved. Embryo donation costs approximately 30% less than traditional IVF. Embryo Solution is an inclusive agency working with single parents, couples in committed relationships, LGBTQ families, and more. With Embryo Solution, you're able to choose between an anonymous and an open relationship with the donor family. Plus, Embryo Solution ships the embryos to the clinic of your choice. So whether you're looking to build your family or you've gone through IVF and you have embryos in storage that you're not sure what to do with, Embryo Solution can help. They've got a team of experts at the ready to help you navigate whatever scenario you're going through. So to find out more, go to embryosolution.com. Again, that's embryosolution.com. Thanks, Embryo Solution. All right, guys, as you know, I'm super passionate about normalizing the conversation about IVF and ART and all the different ways to build a family. So I have a children's book out and it's called Work of Art and it is so cute. It's illustrated by Federico Bonaficini and he's actually working on the second book now too, which will come out later this year. But Work of Art is my family's story and I would love for you to check it out. You can get it on my website. It's at infertilityfgroup.com. They're personalized copies or non, and I would love to share it with you. So thanks to everybody who's gotten it so far, and I hope you check it out too. Also, Fertility Rally is the group I co-founded with Blair Nelson, and we are having new members joining all the time. We'd love to have you join our crew and our fam. It is support groups. It is private Facebook groups. It's IRL and virtual events. It's a website full of resources and videos. We've got videos on there from our past rally lives. We've done 10 rally lives so far. So it's all up there on our site if you become a member. And if you want to learn more, check out fertilityrally.com or you can always reach out to me on DM at Fertility Rally or on my InfertilAF Instagram, which is InfertilAF Stories. Okay, so today I am talking to a really dynamic woman and she's got such a smooth voice and soothing voice. Her name is Nichelle Sublett and I had her on the show way back in 2019. At the time, she was 32 weeks pregnant with her son, Hudson, who's an IVF baby and he's now 5 years old. So we're going to catch up with Nichelle and see what has happened since we last spoke 5+ years ago. So that was not the end of her family building journey. You're going to hear what's happened since the last time we talked. We're also going to talk to Nichelle about Start Asking Fertility, which is her fertility coaching business. So without further ado, this is Nichelle, part two. Hi, Nichelle. It's so good to talk to you again.
Great talking to you too. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. So we first talked when the podcast had just started in 2019. You were one of my first probably like 10 or 12 episodes, which is so crazy because it doesn't seem like that long ago to me. But
no, it doesn't.
Yes. So we wanted to do a part two because obviously a lot has happened with you and your family building story since then, but also just a lot has happened in general in the fertility space. So, and I know you're a fertility coach now. You're actually going to be working a little bit more with Fertility Rally, which we're super excited about. So I want to talk about that too, and just kind of like the community at large. So kind of your story and the changes that have happened just in general as well. So, okay.
Sounds
when we last spoke, you were 32 weeks pregnant with your little guy.
And
he didn't have a name yet, or at least you didn't say on the podcast. You did say that you had done a gender reveal and it was a boy. So let's start from there.
Yeah. So I had Hudson Dean. That's his name.
I love that. I love the name Hudson. Hudson Dean is cool.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Hudson actually came from the Miracle on the Hudson.
Okay.
And he was our miracle. So we thought the name was fitting. And I was also looking for an H name because of my husband's name is Harold.
Harold, so. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, Hudson is five now. So he's thriving and he's in TK and playing soccer and, you know, doing all the things, basketball, lots of activities.
So I want to encourage anybody, and I'm going to post your first episode too in my socials so that people can listen to part one and then listen to part two so they get the full story. But just to give kind of a recap, you know, you had talked about PCOS and pregnancy loss, multiple IUIs, IVF. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about your Fab Five frozen embryos, which made me laugh when I heard it again. I remember thinking that was so cool the first time around. And then when I heard it again, I was like, oh yeah, forgot that she said that. And also how you had started navigating or exploring the surrogacy process before you did your transfer, but you hadn't been matched with anybody yet. So you did your transfer and then had Hudson. So that's kind of a brief recap. But let's talk about the motherhood after infertility piece of it, first of all. You know, I think
I forgot to mention, though, another big thing that happened was in 2021, we went back. I did another embryo transfer and we had our daughter. So Sienna is now 2 years old.
Yes. Okay. Is she part of the Fab Five?
Yes.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome. All right. Well, let's pick up where we left off with Hudson being born. And tell me about motherhood after infertility, because I feel like we have a whole group of it in Fertility Rally, a lot of people who've gone through their journeys and wanted to continue on. And it's such a specific group and a specific mindset. I think after going through a lot of trauma, motherhood looks different than if you hadn't gone through it. So I think it's important to get together with people in that same group. What did it look like for you? Did you still feel, you know, all the traumatic effects of everything you guys had been through?
I think the first year I was in kind of a bliss. So I was on cloud nine, just still couldn't believe I was a mom. Couldn't believe I had a baby earthside. Mm-hmm. Was still processing all of that. Thankfully, he was a great sleeper and he latched immediately. So breastfeeding was a breeze, which I remember thinking, thank God, like something in this
something
whole
went
process.
Right.
Yeah. Because you know how it is. You feel, at least I felt broken. I felt like my body was broken.
Yeah.
And so I had no expectations around breastfeeding because I had heard all the horror stories.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like a welcome surprise that, wow, like this went smoothly. And we were, you know, doing some traveling and it was this beautiful bliss, you know, having friends over. Everyone wanted to meet him. Just feeling like on top of the world.
Yes.
And then COVID hit. So when he was 6 months old, COVID hit. And that kind of, as you know, turned the world upside down. My husband and I started working from home then. So it was wonderful because we had a nanny and, you know, we were able to see Hudson during the day. So that part was great. Specifically to motherhood after infertility, though, as things got more and more difficult, meaning like Hudson got older, he started walking, started talking, you know, was into everything. That's when that guilt sets in, at least for me, because I didn't feel like I could complain. Like, no, you wanted this. you begged for this. You tried for 6 years. And when it got difficult, because toddlers are difficult, whether you went through infertility or not, I couldn't complain. I couldn't be upset. I couldn't have a bad day. And I think that, you know, that's something that I've heard from a lot of mothers after infertility.
That is such a good point, Nichelle. And I felt the same exact way when after I had Sunny, because it was like, you've tried so hard for this. So now the last thing in the world you can do is complain about it in any regard. And I think I went through his whole infancy without a peep of, mm-hmm. I mean, I was so happy that he was here. So I think that was part of it, but mm-hmm. it is still hard. And I think it's important, like you said, to bring up the fact that it's okay to have worked so hard for your babies and still find it hard when they are earthside. Like, that's okay. That's right. Human. That's normal. But I do think we do feel a lot of that guilt, and we need to just band together and like not feel so guilty because we're humans.
I agree. And everyone else gets to complain. Why don't we? I mean, it's almost that double whammy. You know, right. It took us a difficult journey to get to the baby. And then, oh, also now we can't participate in, you know, motherhood after, you know, motherhood as far right. as the realities and being able exactly. to share trials. So,
yes. So tell me about when you guys decided that you were going to get back on the road and try again with another embryo.
Yeah, we originally thought we would go back when he was 12 months old. At least okay. that was my idea. And once he was 12 months old, I'm like, well, that just seems, for me, it seemed crazy to go back at that point. Like, he was still so young, I felt like I was still recovering as far as mentally and emotionally, physically. And I did not feel ready, especially physically. I did not feel ready to start up like shots and hormones right. and a schedule. And then I knew it was going to take away from time with Hudson. So we actually waited until he was two. And then at okay. two, we went back and we did the same protocol again for IVF.
Okay. And exact same.
They determined I needed another day of progesterone before okay. Hudson. We did that again. Mm-hmm. Some things had changed, though, about the actual protocol, just in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was the same batch of embryos, the Fab Five?
It was.
All right. So tell me about the second time around. You've got Hudson at home. You're going through all the shots again. It's hard with a toddler, right?
Yes, extremely. And I had taken for granted, not really taken for granted, but sort of, you know, when you're pregnant and you don't have any children already, so you can take naps and you can relax and really give your body what it needs. Yeah, that mm-hmm. all goes out the window when you have a 2-year-old running around. So
100%.
Yeah, the pregnancy was definitely more difficult, I will say, okay. because of that. Yeah.
So was it that next time you went in and it did work and you got pregnant with Sienna?
Oh, yes. My body had gotten so sensitive. I had had, as we discussed in the last episode, I had already had 5 miscarriages. So Hudson's pregnancy, I will say, I was like on edge the entire pregnancy, just really mm-hmm. scared, worried.
Yep.
This time, I will honestly say I went into it a lot more relaxed. And I think because I was so focused on being his mom that I didn't have time to like work myself up into a tizzy. But to say all that, my body had gotten so sensitive that, yeah, probably 6 days after the transfer, I'm like, I feel like I'm pregnant. I had the physical signs. So I took a test at home, even though you're not supposed to.
And right. found out. Okay. So what did it feel like to see that positive test?
I mean, incredible. Like, one, kind of shocking, like, wait, this worked? Because, you know, we had gone through 6 years. I had had multiple embryo transfers, mm-hmm. all the things, miscarriages. And so I was a little kind of taken aback because honestly, I thought, well, you know, we may have to do a couple of transfers or maybe mm-hmm. 3, you know, I don't yeah. know. Yeah. So that I was shocked, but also like so happy.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
I think that's an important thing to talk about too, is that those of us who've gone through multiple losses or just infertility for several years or even 1 year, you don't have to quantify it, whatever, any amount of time, you're used to being on the wrong side of the statistics and you're used to getting bad news. So it's almost like when you get good news, you're like, wait, what? you mm-hmm. second guess it. It doesn't feel right. So that's mm-hmm. like another like mind F, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like
yeah, it really is. It's like, wait, is somebody playing a joke on me? I mean, I'm excited. I'm happy. But what's the catch? You know, you're totally. Always kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop in a sense.
100%. 100%. Okay. So tell me about the second pregnancy. You said it was a little more difficult, obviously, because you're raising a toddler at home too. But when she was born, what, did everything go okay and all that?
Yeah. Thankfully, this time I had a scheduled C-section because with Hudson, I had an induction and then that ended up failing the multiple things we tried over a couple days. So I ended up with a C-section. With Sienna, this time it was scheduled ahead of time. So at 39 weeks and 5 days, I was supposed to go in, but I went into labor the night before, actually.
Oh my God.
Yes. Yes. Very, very unexpected because okay. I had Hudson at 41 weeks on the dot.
Wow.
So wasn't really expecting that. But anyway, they just moved up my C-section. We went in, had it 8 hours earlier than it was supposed to be.
So looking yeah. back now, after everything that you guys have gone through with your two babies who, by the way, I'm looking at your Instagram, you have the most beautiful family. They're the cutest little kids.
Thank you.
Cutest kids. What advice do you have for people who might be kind of new to this world, who are listening, or somebody who's been in it for a while and is just feeling really low?
The biggest thing that helped me throughout it all was having a community of support. And honestly, whatever that looks like, I know, and I will say the first few years, I didn't want to share it with anybody except like a few close friends and my parents. But I do wish I had shared it earlier because once it was kind of out as far as like amongst our broader community, it was just very relieving. To me, it was very cathartic. It was something I didn't have to hide anymore. Mm-hmm. I could be honest about things if I couldn't attend that baby shower. People understood. So right. I would say whether it's a support group, because I was also attending support groups, mm-hmm. those are huge to walk beside somebody else who's also going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. But honestly, finding a couple people or more that you can trust with your emotions and with your feelings.
I'm a big fan of therapy too, if you can get it, therapy. Or if you're open to it. That helped me so much through Absolutely. All the like roller coaster of emotions.
Yes.
I also want to talk about last conversation. You know, we talked about how you had mentioned like the misconception that women of color are more fertile. Mm-hmm. We kind of delved into that. And we also talked about just how in the African-American community, infertility was pretty taboo back in 2019. Have you seen it change in the last, you know, five and a half years?
I think major strides have been made. Mm-hmm. We're seeing more Black celebrities come out with their stories. So that's mm-hmm. been really helpful, whether it was Tamron Hall. I know Gabrielle Union mm-hmm. had a surrogate. Several people have come out, and I think that helps a lot for like the broader population. I do still believe there is some stigma still there. It's just not something that's readily talked about amongst the Black community. I think the idea that something is a weakness, or, you know, you're not strong enough to get through this, is something that's difficult. And that's, you know, that goes with mental health as well in the Black community. So mm-hmm. it's still there, but it's getting better. There's more voices out there. And I think the more, the better, honestly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I do. I do feel like since, you know, I was going through this with Sunny, it's been almost a decade now, which is wild. Wow. You know, when I was going through my losses and miscarriages and infertility and IVF and all that, mm-hmm. I still feel like we've barely scratched the surface though. I mean, you know, I've done mm-hmm. 300 plus episodes of this podcast and told so many stories, but there's still so many to tell. Like, it's like,
yes.
It's, I feel like we can't even make a dent in, you know, putting the information out there because there's just so much. And it's still, there's still people that are like, what's surrogacy? Like, they don't even know what it means. You know, there's just, it's just kind of wild.
It is. It is. I think once you're in it and you get in that, you know, within the community, which, as we all say, best club, I mean, I'm sorry, worst club, best members.
That's right.
Worst club, best members. Then you feel like, you know, oh, everyone's going through this, or I know so many people, but that's just it within our small community.
That's true. Yeah.
I read that infertility is now affecting 1 in 6 globally. So it's like the yes. numbers just keep getting worse. And so there has to be more awareness.
Right. When I started in this world, it was 1 in 8. And then it's now it's 1 in 6, which is crazy. And that's just people that are reporting it. You know, that's, you don't even know there's people that might be going through it that haven't come to the forefront. But I do want to talk about Start Asking Fertility, which was, I didn't remember this until I re-listened to our episode, but that was your hashtag after you were in the Mrs. North Carolina pageant, right? Because your the awareness was all about infertility, which I thought was so cool that you made that your platform when you were on such a big stage. And your hashtag Start Asking Fertility. So now it has turned into this coaching, you know, business. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So just to go back a little bit, right. The hashtag Start Asking was about getting younger women to start asking their doctors for fertility assessments, just like we get assessments for our heart and our lungs and everything else in our body. And I also did that TED talk in 2019, or TEDx talk, excuse me, on why females should start asking their doctors for fertility assessments. And that's why Start Asking Fertility came to be. I thought it was the perfect name for the business. I am doing personalized one-on-one coaching with those who are having a unique journey to parenthood, a unique path to parenthood. And it's really, it's my mission to help people thrive through this time in their lives versus just survive, because I feel like I just barely survived it for the most
part. That's a good point. That's such a good distinction. Yes.
Yeah. And it's different than your traditional therapist, because it's, of course, the social, emotional, I go over mindset, we talk about fertility diets, acupuncture, we go into the holistic version, and it's really customized to whatever that specific person needs. So maybe you've just started trying to get pregnant and it's only been 6 months or something of that nature. I can still step in and help and hopefully save you some time and pain. If you've been going through infertility for years, I'm also there to step and be a helping hand, your fertility friend, someone who gets it and can help guide you and support you.
I love on your website, you're like, I know the path you're on and I'm here to walk it with you, which again, I just think that's so important to have, whether it be one person or a big group of people or whatever. It's just, you don't have to go through this alone and nobody should. And I know you and I share that passion for just making this suck less for anybody coming after us, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And especially for those who maybe haven't shared it, even though I encourage you to share it, for people who haven't shared it with family or friends and they don't have any support, I'm here, you know, it's confidential. No one has to know if that's not what, you know, if you don't want anyone to know.
So totally.
You can still have that support person in me. Our next feat, frankly, and this is another part of motherhood after infertility, for those who have embryos, we have 3 embryos that are still on ice. And every year we get that bill and we get that letter asking, hey, do you still want to keep your embryos frozen? Which of course that's a trigger in itself when you've been through infertility.
Absolutely.
But we're still working through what we want to do, and we're people of faith, so we're praying about it and we're trying to decide, you know, what to do, basically, where to place our embryos. So
yeah. And I think it's such a personal decision and there's a lot of different routes to go down and that. But it's also one of those things, Nichelle, where like you never think about having to have to think about that until you're in it, right? Like, would you ever imagine you get this bill every year? Like, it's just, it's so wild the circumstances we find ourselves in sometimes in this world.
It is. You go from one extreme to the other, because when I had my first egg retrieval and we got a certain number of eggs, and then you know how you go from a certain number of eggs to probably cutting that in half. And then we also did the PGT testing. So after that, it cuts in half again for some people. So we had 3 embryos that were deemed genetically normal. I had 2 embryo transfers that failed. And then we decided to do another egg retrieval because I was getting closer to 35. And, you know, it was recommended by our doctor. So anyway, long story short, when we did the second retrieval, then we had 4 embryos that we were able to freeze that were deemed genetically normal. And that blew my mind, because like you said, I thought we would get the number of embryos we needed to have the number of children we needed. Like when we had 3, I'm like, okay, we'll have 3. So, you know, that's just, you don't imagine getting additional, especially when you've been through so much for so many years.
All right. Thank you so much to Nichelle. She is one of our Fertility Rally support group hosts now. So again, if you want to check out the rally, let me know. You can always DM me. You can check out our site at Fertility Rally, but on Instagram, we're at Fertility Rally and Infertile AF Stories. Also, if you're interested in checking out a copy of my children's book about IVF and ART, it's called Work of Art, and it's on my website at infertileafgroup.com. I also just want to thank you all for listening to this podcast year in and year out. The messages I get are so amazing and make it all worthwhile. If I can help even one person, it really warms my heart, and I love doing this. So thank you guys so much for being loyal listeners and for sharing the show with your friends and your colleagues and your family. And we have so many more episodes lined up for this year. So keep listening, and I will talk to you guys next time. Thanks.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.